Today is Monday, the 16th of March, and this is the World Socialist Website. The war against Iran will intensify the internal crisis of American capitalism, by Joseph Kishore. Nearly 3,800 meatpacking workers are walking off the job today at the JBS plant in Greeley, Colorado, one of the largest beef processing facilities in the United States. Workers voted 99% in favor of strike action last month, protesting poverty wages and unsafe conditions. It is the largest strike of meatpacking workers in the United States since the bitter 1985-86 Hormel strike in Austin, Minnesota. Many of the Greeley workers are recent immigrants from Haiti and Somalia who are under direct threat from the deportation machine of the Trump administration. They voted to strike anyway. The Greeley workers' courage and determination reflect the explosive state of class relations in America. The meatpacking strike begins against the backdrop of a war. 2 weeks ago, the United States and Israel launched its criminal war of aggression against Iran, which is rapidly spiraling into a regional and indeed global conflict. The causes of this war are multiple and complex. Iran has long been a target of American imperialism, which has waged a decades-long campaign to dominate the oil resources of the Middle East. The attempt to overthrow the Iranian government through assassination and mass slaughter is bound up with the offensive of the American ruling class against China. However, a major factor is the internal situation within the United States itself. Throughout history, regimes that confront deep internal crises have sought to resolve them through war. The McKinley administration launched the Spanish-American War of 1898 amid intense class conflict and the aftermath of economic depression. Tsarist Russia's interior minister, Plehev, advocated war with Japan in 1904, on the grounds that, quote, what this country needs is a short, victorious war to stem the tide of revolution, end quote, a calculation that received its appropriate response in the Revolution of 1905. The Johnson administration escalated the Vietnam War amid the upheavals of the civil rights movement and growing social unrest. The most catastrophic expressions of this tendency, however, belong to the 20th century's two world wars. The ruling classes of Europe in 1914 welcomed the outbreak of war as a means of drowning the rising tide of working class struggle in nationalist patriotism. The war itself gave rise to the Russian Revolution of 1917 and revolutionary upheavals across Europe. In relation to World War II, Hitler's relentless campaign of militarization and aggression was driven by both the imperatives of German imperialism and, as historian Tom Mason has noted, the effort to avert collapse and chaos at home. The Trump administration is no exception. Consider the issues that dominated the first 2 months of 2026. In January and February, the United States was shaken by a wave of social protests, which followed the massive No Kings demonstrations last year. The trigger was the deployment of some 3,000 federal immigration agents into Minneapolis, St. Paul, culminating in the killing of Renee Nicole Good, shot dead by an ICE agent on January 7. On January 23, tens of thousands of people in Minneapolis braved temperatures of minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit to march in protest. There were growing calls for a general strike, which emerged not from the trade union apparatus and the Democratic Party, but from below. The response of the Trump administration and its Gestapo agents in ICE and the CBP was to murder Alex Pretty. Protests spread throughout the country, along with a nationwide wave of high school student walkouts. According to one tally, there were 334 walkouts in 2026 alone, in 236 school districts across 48 states and the District of Columbia. Simultaneously, a significant strike movement was developing in the working class, which the apparatus of the trade unions have worked desperately to contain. In New York City, 15,000 nurses struck for over a month. On January 26, 31,000 nurses and healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente walked out in an open-ended strike in California and Hawaii, one of the largest healthcare strikes in American history. On February 9, 6,400 San Francisco teachers walked out for higher wages and adequate school funding. The eruption of social protest and strike action expresses the accumulated consequences of decades of massive social inequality and an unprecedented concentration of wealth in the hands of a tiny oligarchy. The ruling class is carrying out a jobs bloodbath while demanding that workers accept falling living standards and deepening insecurity. The United States confronts a massive and unsustainable expansion of public and private debt, mounting threats to the global reserve status of the dollar, and renewed inflationary pressures that are devouring wages. The Trump regime itself faces a profound political crisis, deeply hated by growing sections of the population. A Pew Research Center survey conducted in late January found Trump's approval at just 37%, with fully 50% of Americans saying his administration's actions have been worse than they expected. Trump has now spent an entire year with a negative net approval rating. The release of millions of documents from the Jeffrey Epstein files tore back a corner of the curtain on the moral rot of the American ruling class and its political representatives in both parties. The administration's response, suppressing documents, issuing sweeping redactions, and claiming files had been mistakenly withheld, confirmed what the disclosures exposed. The state functions as a political instrument of an oligarchy that operates on the basis of criminality. In attempting to change the subject through war, Trump is acting, as in all of his actions, as the representative of the capitalist oligarchy. The Democrats share these class interests. They support the war against Iran and the overthrow of its government. As the war drive accelerated, Democratic leaders worked to secure the passage of massive military spending measures. And as protests erupted against ICE repression and political violence, Democratic officials reached an agreement with Trump. Included in the collaborationist frenzy of the Democrats was New York City Mayor and Democratic Socialists of America member Zoran Mamdani, who, in the months leading up to the war, met twice with Trump, including once just 3 days before the bombing began, to hail his ongoing collaboration with the fascist in the White House. Trump wants to change the subject. The media wants to change the subject. The Democrats want to change the subject. But war does not resolve internal crises. It intensifies them, above all when the war is going badly. The war against Iran is massively unpopular from the start. The economic consequences have been immediate and severe, including in soaring oil prices. The $11.3 billion spent in the first 6 days of the conflict alone represents a massive diversion of social resources that will be paid for through an assault on social programs. Opposition will grow as the war expands, and the death toll mounts. At the opening of the Iraq War in 2003, the World Socialist website wrote, quote, "Whatever the outcome of the initial stages of the conflict that has begun, American imperialism has a rendezvous with disaster. It cannot conquer the world. It cannot reimpose colonial shackles upon the masses of the Middle East. it will not find, through the medium of war, a viable solution to its internal maladies. Rather, the unforeseen difficulties and mounting resistance engendered by war will intensify all of the internal contradictions of American society." End quote. In the more than two decades since those lines were written, the internal maladies of American society have metastasized. Trump, the gangster in the White House, is himself a product and personification of this reality. The war against Iran, in all its brutal criminality, as well as the government waging it, reveal a capitalist oligarchy hurtling toward catastrophe and a social order that has exhausted all political legitimacy. The scale of the crisis conditions the increasingly reckless actions of the government. In Iran, the administration has declared that, quote, "nothing is off the table," end quote, a phrase that, from a government with the largest nuclear arsenal in the world, must be taken with the utmost seriousness. The conspiracy for dictatorship that found expression in the murders of American citizens in Minneapolis is intensifying. But the same contradictions that produce war and dictatorship also produce the basis for social revolution. The war does not change the content of the struggles that erupted in the first months of 2026. It gives them greater urgency. The strike now beginning at the JBS plant in Greeley, Colorado, is a powerful indication that opposition is deepening and expanding in the working class. What is required is to unify these struggles over wages, exploitation, and inequality with the defense of democratic rights, the fight against dictatorship, and opposition to the escalating and catastrophic war. This cannot be done through the Democratic Party, the corporate media, or the trade union apparatus, which works systematically to isolate strikes, suppress opposition, and subordinate workers to the needs of the state and the corporations. It requires breaking free of the stranglehold of the bureaucracy and building rank-and-file committees in every workplace and industry linked up across regions and borders. The Socialist Equality Party calls for the expansion of the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, IWA-RFC, as a means of organising this independent power of the working class. The fight against war is inseparable from the fight against the capitalist system that produces it. The alternative is barbarism, war, repression, and social devastation, or socialism, the political mobilisation of the working class to take power, dismantle the war machine, end the rule of the oligarchy, and reorganise economic life on the basis of human need, not private profit. Immigrant workers launch strike at JBS meatpacking plant in Greeley, Colorado, by Tom Hall. On Monday, 3,800 workers are set to strike at the JBS beef processing plant in Greeley, Colorado. The walkout would be the largest strike in the US meatpacking industry since the bitter 1985 to 1986 Hormel strike. The strike is another sign of the rising class struggle in the United States. The year began with lengthy strikes by tens of thousands of nurses in New York City and on the West Coast. Educators in San Francisco have also carried out strike action, with educators in Los Angeles and other major districts voting to authorize strikes. The Greeley strike would also be the first major strike to begin since the start of the war against Iran, a massively unpopular conflict whose costs are already being imposed on the working class through price increases and austerity. At the Greeley plant, between 80 and 90% of workers are immigrants, with the largest numbers coming from Haiti and Somalia. 57 different languages are spoken inside the plant, making it a truly international workforce. The strike is doubly courageous given the rampage by the Trump administration against immigrants. According to the union, unmarked vans were parked outside the venue where the strike vote was held, raising concerns that Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, was conducting surveillance. An investigation by the Colorado Times Recorder uncovered 9 secret detention facilities across the state. The Trump administration is also attempting to revoke temporary protected status for as many as 500,000 Haitian workers. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, subjected to more than 2 centuries of imperialist oppression and repeated foreign interventions. The assault on immigrants by Trump is an expansion of the deportation regime built up under both corporate-controlled parties. The Obama administration set records for deportations during its first 2 terms, while the Biden administration deported 4.6 million people during its first 4 years in office. It is not uncommon for management to retaliate against workers by tipping off immigration authorities. An infamous raid on poultry plants in Mississippi in 2019 led to 680 arrests, including of workers who had recently won a legal settlement against management over harassment and abuse. More than 350 people were deported. One worker was later killed in Mexico while attempting to reunite with his family after deportation. A recent lawsuit has also accused JBS of human trafficking at Greeley. Haitian workers say they were lured to the United States through TikTok advertisements promising stable jobs and housing. When they arrived, many found themselves crammed into overcrowded conditions, with as many as 11 people to a room, and between 40 and 60 workers living in a 5-bedroom house without electricity or running water. Workers across the country, regardless of legal status, race or nationality, have an obligation to support the strike. The same is true for workers internationally. JBS is a Brazilian multinational corporation that operates roughly 250 meatpacking plants in 25 countries, making the struggle of Greeley workers part of a global fight. Last year, a national contract covering roughly 26,000 JBS workers at 14 facilities across the United States was ratified with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, UFCW. However, the Greeley plant was excluded from that agreement, and workers there have been working under a contract extension since last summer. Quote, "The strike by workers at the JBS plant in Greeley is an important development and must be supported by workers everywhere," Will Lehman, a socialist running for president of the United Auto Workers on a platform of abolishing the union bureaucracy, said in a statement issued in response to the strike. Quote, "These workers are standing up against a giant multinational corporation and against terrible conditions that have been imposed for years. The ruling class and the politicians want to divide workers by nationality and immigration status. This is a lie. Immigrant workers are not our enemies. They are our brothers and sisters, fighting the same exploitative corporations and facing the same attacks. I call on auto workers across the country to support the JBS workers. The UAW bureaucracy, which has lined up with Trump and nationalist policies, tries to claim that foreign workers are our competition. That is a fraud meant to divide us. The principle that must guide workers everywhere is the old and powerful one. An injury to one is an injury to all. The workers in Greeley have already shown their determination. In 2020, they organised walkouts and sickouts against being forced to work during the COVID-19 pandemic. They were fighting not only JBS management, but the first Trump administration, which invoked the Defence Production Act to keep meatpacking plants operating, even as workers were getting sick and dying. Today, with the war against Iran spiralling out of control, similar methods will be used to again force workers to continue producing under dangerous conditions. Workers must prepare to resist these measures. End quote. Heading: Workers Fight Poverty Pay and Deadly Conditions. Workers at the Greeley plant face atrocious conditions. Starting pay is roughly $22 an hour, barely above Colorado's state minimum wage of $15.16, and barely half the living wage of $43.30 needed for a Greeley household with two adults and two children, according to MIT's living wage calculator. JBS has responded to workers' demands with a provocative wage proposal of just 60 cents in the first year and 30 cents in each of the following 2 years. At least six workers at the Greeley plant died of COVID-19 during the first year of the pandemic in 2020. Meatpacking plants become major super spreader sites, particularly in rural areas where they often serve as major employers. According to Food and Environment Reporting Network data, at least 59,000 workers in meatpacking plants were infected and 298 died by the fall of 2021. Greeley was a centre of resistance. Workers organised spontaneous walkouts during the spring and summer of 2020 to protest unsafe conditions. But UFCW Local 7 eventually intervened to instruct workers to remain on the job. In 2021, another worker at the Greeley plant died after falling into a chemical vat. The conditions evoke the scenes described in Upton Sinclair's novel, The Jungle, which exposed the brutal exploitation of immigrant workers in Chicago's meatpacking plants in the early 20th century. Other recent deaths underscore the broader crisis. Last summer, a 19-year-old Guatemalan immigrant, Brian Naftali Otoniel Canujoj, died after falling into a meat grinder at a food processing plant in California. Outside the meatpacking industry, two postal workers died at distribution centres late last year, while auto worker Ronald Adams Sr. was killed on the job in a case now the subject of an independent investigation by the International Workers' Alliance of rank-and-file committees. The brutal pace of production is another central issue. Workers report that line speeds have been increased from roughly 390 cattle per hour to between 420 and 440 per hour. Key equipment such as knife sharpeners have reportedly been broken for weeks. The speed up, combined with understaffing, creates extremely dangerous conditions and contributes to cuts, repetitive motion injury, and other ailments that already make meatpacking one of the most injury-prone industries in the United States. Heading: Attempts by UFCW officials to isolate strike. While workers at Greeley are determined to fight, they face an obstacle in the UFCW bureaucracy, which will systematically try to isolate and undermine the strike. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the union assisted corporations and the government in keeping meatpacking plants open, even as workers were becoming infected in large numbers. One of the most infamous cases occurred at the Tyson plant in Waterloo, Iowa, where management organized a betting pool among supervisors over how many workers would become infected, even as the union collaborated in keeping the plant operating. The UFCW Local 7 has a long history of isolating struggles by its members. Last year, grocery workers at King Soopers and Safeway in Colorado struck, but the UFCW did everything to keep these struggles from uniting. The union shut down the King Soopers strike in February with a 100-day labour peace agreement that ensured workers would not be on strike at the same time as Safeway workers. Safeway employees eventually struck on their own for 3 weeks during the summer. These actions formed part of a nationwide pattern of sabotage. Roughly 100,000 grocery workers had contracts expiring last summer, placing them in an extremely powerful position to fight for major gains after decades of poverty wages and the spread of casual labour. Yet only a handful of workers went on strike at isolated chains in individual states. In this context, the fact that Greeley workers are outside the national JBS contract creates a serious danger that their struggle will be isolated. This must not be allowed to happen. Quote, "The mass protests in Minneapolis against ICE violence shows broad support for immigrant rights," Williams' statement concluded. Quote, "But this movement must be grounded in the working class. Workers at other JBS plants, meatpacking workers across the United States, and workers in other industries must be prepared to take action in defense of their brothers and sisters in Greeley. If there are signs that raids or other forms of repression are being prepared, workers across the country must respond immediately with mass action. The key question is the development of rank-and-file committees to expand this struggle. The committees must prepare collective action and ensure that the struggle is expanded, not isolated. The UFCW bureaucracy plays the same role as a bureaucracy in the UAW and other unions in undermining our collective power. It has already undermined the position of Greeley workers by keeping them separated from the national JBS contract. Workers must overcome this isolation by uniting from below. Rank-and-file committees can also enforce democratic oversight over negotiations and ensure that any contract ends the strike only after workers win real improvements in wages, safety, and conditions." End quote. Amazon workers locked out of warehouse during tornado, by Trayvon Austin. Amazon delivery drivers say they were locked out of an Oklahoma City warehouse last week during an active tornado warning. Amazon employee Priscilla Maddox captured footage of the moment bosses at the Amazon Flex station turned away drivers seeking shelter after the National Weather Service issued a tornado warning for the area on Tuesday. The incident took place on the evening of March 10 at an Amazon delivery station at 8707 Pole Road, near the interchange of Interstate 35 and Interstate 240. In addition to the doors being locked, multiple Amazon Flex drivers alleged that management ushered them out of the building while sirens blared. Maddox was due to run her last route of the day when tornado sirens went off, prompting workers to seek shelter inside of the warehouse. A video she uploaded to TikTok shows the warehouse doors being shut and locked as up to 15 drivers tried to get inside. The video showed the bosses pulling the door down as she begged to be let in while tornado sirens blared. Quote, "Okay, from my understanding, they're closing the doors on all these people because their priorities are way better than ours. We don't belong in a safe environment, and we are all out here now," Maddox said in the TikTok. In another moment, Maddox exclaimed, quote, "What is wrong, people? I don't get it. You would think they'd be like, come in, be safe. No," end quote. Maddox and her boyfriend, Cody Townsend, who is also an Amazon Flex driver, said they were forced to rush home to seek safety from the storm. Quote, "I was just completely shocked that they would do that. And I was just looking at everybody and was like, look, we got to get to safety, guys. Just don't stand here," Maddox told local news. Quote, "They just disregarded us and disregarded our safety and they just didn't care," end quote. Townsend offered his perspective of the incident to local news station Oklahoma News 4. Townsend said, quote, "Being locked out during a tornado warning was kind of a big kick in the teeth, because you would at least expect to have some human decency," end quote. Another driver that was locked out of the door recounted the indifference with which workers were treated. Quote, "I got right to the door And one of the employees, I just kind of looked him in the face and I was like, "The sirens are going off, my friend. Like, we need shelter," the driver told News 4. Quote, "And his eyes just got big and my eyes got big and he just pointed at the security guard and was like, 'We do what he says.' And I looked at the security guard and he gave me a stare for a second," end quote. Moments later, the driver said a worker grabbed the door and shut it. Quote, "I just turned around and was like, 'What in the world just happened?'" the driver said. Quote, "Like, there is a tornado that can hit at any time and we are here to fend for ourselves," end quote. Quote, "I couldn't believe it," another driver said. "My first thought after we got back into the car was that, you know, I guess they're prioritising their merchandise and their equipment over the lives of their workers," end quote. Fortunately for workers, the storm ultimately veered slightly north and the tornado dissipated soon after. Quote, "God forbid the tornado would have touched down and cars started flipping over and blocking paths to get in and out," one driver said. Quote, "It would have just been a madhouse," end quote. In an attempt at damage control, Amazon spokesperson Sam Stevenson issued a statement saying, quote, "The health and safety of our employees and partners is our highest priority, and we take these matters very seriously. The actions taken here are unacceptable and did not follow our policies and procedures, and we've suspended the employees involved while we investigate the incident. We're reaching out directly to everyone affected to apologise and let them know that we're taking steps to ensure nothing like this happens again," end quote. In fact, Amazon possesses a terrible record of safety and hazard violations. Amazon warehouse workers are generally injured at roughly twice the average rate. In 2021, an OSHA analysis determined that Amazon's injury rate of 6.5 per 100 employees was 71% higher than the rate for all other non-Amazon warehouses with over 1,000 employees. Musculoskeletal disorders are the most common injury, born from the relentless focus on speed and quotas as high as 600 packages an hour for some roles. Tuesday's close brush with disaster could have turned out like two previous incidents where Amazon's negligence during inclement weather led to the deaths of workers. A fulfillment centre in Baltimore collapsed in November 2018 following severe storms, killing two workers. In December 2021, six workers died in Illinois after Amazon kept them on the job overnight as severe tornadoes ripped through the Midwest. Management ignored extensive warnings of the danger days in advance of the tragedy, including from the National Weather Service and local news outlets. For these articles and more, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Jenny Campbell.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.